Well, hello there. It's me, Harold the Puppet, and you are watching Shooting. I don't curse, so Shooting Poop. Yeah.
This is Eric Young, and you're watching Shooting Shit.
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Hey everybody, it's DDJ and the Silver Wolf, and I am actually not live from American Family Field because the Brewers are currently playing in Miami right now. So the beauty of virtual backgrounds and these types of Zooms and StreamYard, which is what we use to do this show and stuff. So right now it's just Silver Wolf and I. The Hot One will be joining us shortly as his computer is going through a multitude of updates just at the most inconvenient of times. But isn't that how technology always works?
It seems to be that way, man.
Yeah. I know, man. Technology can be either your best friend or your worst enemy. Right? Sure. Am I right?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're old and you don't know what you're doing.
Like, well, you're old, but you know what you're doing. So,
I got a wife that helps me out quite a bit.
Oh, dude, give yourself some credit, man. You're good, man. You're a lot further ahead than a lot of people I know. So
That's probably true.
We got a few things to talk about. So while we're waiting for Jovan to come on, let's start the show.
Yeah, man, let's get going.
All right. Jovan's computer must still be updating and stuff. So, So Sean, how we doing this weekend, buddy?
I'm good, man. I had a really good weekend. Worked some, we had Oktoberfest here in Mancino and worked some security this weekend and got to meet some new friends, make a little bit of money, talk a little bit of wrestling. So, man, I had a good weekend. How'd your nephew's wedding go?
Oh, man, dude, it was, for those of you who don't know, we're actually recording on Sunday instead of our normal Thursday time, so the weekend's pretty much already happened and stuff, and my nephew got married yesterday. I couldn't have asked for a more perfect day weather-wise. Everything came together. A little bit of a plug for myself here. Any of our shooters out there that live in the state of Illinois that are looking to get married, why don't you know what? You can offer someone from the show to actually legally marry you in the state of Illinois. So if you're looking to get married and you live in the state of Illinois, you know how to reach me. My socials are on our episode description page. You know, that Twitter at Dennis W. Day Jr. and on Facebook as Dennis Day Jr. Reach out and we'll figure out something to work out. But yeah, I can marry people in the state of Illinois legally now.
That's awesome, dude.
And then being able to do my first one for my nephew and his wife, it's like one of the coolest experiences ever. I had my moments, you know, because my mom and dad, you know, unfortunately are both no longer with us and stuff, and I got a little emotional at a couple of times, and my nephew came over to me once, and you know, we talked for a little bit and stuff, but as the night went on, you know, the beer started coming in and fought shots of Fireball and all that stuff. Yeah, it got better as the night went on.
That's awesome. And I did last night. They had an apple cider punch.
Ooh.
It's a, you know those, like, you remember the, you know, the caramel apple suckers that had the green plastic wrapper?
Oh, my God. Those are awesome.
That's what it tasted like, man. I ended up pounding, like, four of those, which is so funny because the girls there were giving me crap. You know, just like the big tattooed tough biker guy, and he's drinking, he's drinking apple cider punch. But no, man, it was a good time, dude. Well, I'm glad you guys had a good thing, man. And congratulations to your nephew on his nuptials, dude. That's really cool.
Yeah.
You kind of look like Bob Backlund up there marrying him. Did you have your sunglasses on the whole time, or did you take?
I actually did because the way everything was set up, it was just. It was the position of the sun and stuff. Yeah, it's like I had my shades on, and then all the groomsmen had sunglasses on as well too.
Oh well, then that's cool. Yeah,
mine were different because apparently, because when we got, you know how like when you do the wedding rehearsal, like all the everybody in the bridal party gets a little gift or something. We all got these, and I don't have it with me. It's upstairs, but it's one of those little, you know, glasses with my name on it and stuff. You know,
yeah.
All the groomsmen got those, but all the groomsmen got a pair of like just basic black sunglasses too. But I guess apparently because I wasn't officially a groomsman, I was just, I don't know, doing the ceremony and stuff. I didn't get any sunglasses, so I had to improvise and wear my Orange Cassidy sunglasses.
Dressed like Bob Backlund wearing your Orange Cassidy sunglasses.
And it's, pretty much, I mean, and the funny thing was,
you cannot do anything that doesn't have a touch of wrestling in it. That just cracks me up, man.
But see, the funny thing was, I get dressed, and I'm going to, you know, I'm driving to the venue as, you know, Crystal and Matthew are getting ready, because I had to be there early to make sure, like, my laptop with all the music and everything was set up and stuff, and my brother was doing the speakers and the sound system, and... So as I'm driving, you know, in the picture that I sent you guys in the show chat and stuff, I looked at it, and it's funny because as soon as I looked at myself and I looked at the picture, I was like, God damn, I'm really rocking the Bob Backlund look.
Well, I thought it was funny because the joke I made was you look like Pee Wee Herman, DDJ. And then when you sent it in the other chat with Pat, and Pat said the same joke, I made the same joke, it was a pretty similar joke about Pee Wee Herman and stuff. But when you said Bob Backlund, I was like, oh my God, dude, you do look like Bob Backlund.
And so, you know what? The nice thing is now, if I wanted to, I technically have my costume for Halloween already.
There you go, man. Yeah. You crazy Bob Backlund.
Yeah.
So I just actually sent money to Pat so I could get my tickets paid for BFG, man. So I'm excited to go for Bound for Glory.
And dude, you guys are going. I mean, what they've already announced for that.
Yeah.
Osprey versus Speedball Mike Bailey.
I know, dude. I'm gonna get to watch Will Osprey wrestle live in Cicero Stadium.
I got to see him at the first Forbidden Door when he wrestled Orange Cassidy. In a match that I still
came to this so game, stoked, dude.
Fucking show, which I called on this show when we previewed that show, and I got on all over for that. Yeah, no, seeing Will Ospreay wrestle is a treat. So
it's, I think, man, I don't know how many, like, I think that's three shows that I'm going to in the next month. I'm not 100% sure. Because I know we're going to CSW with Ty next month because Gangrel is going to be there.
Week from 2 weeks from Friday, I believe.
So 2 weeks from this coming Friday.
2 weeks from this Friday.
October 19th. So, and then.
No, it's October 13th. Remember, it's October 13th because it's Friday the 13th.
So October 13th is CSW, and then the 19th, I think, is in the AAW on Weed Street. Joe's on Weed Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Mance Warner is going to be there. And the rumor is that there's going to be a surprise guest, and that's going to be John Moxley. So I don't know because he showed up the last AAW pay-per-view.
With what happened at Dynamite, you know, I mean, that's going to kind of be up in the air because if he does show up, it's obviously going to probably be in a non-wrestling capacity because he got a spell wrong at Dynamite.
Oh, I got faith in John, man. He'll show up. Him and Mansoor hopefully tear it down. That would be awesome.
I would love to see Moxley and Mance Warner go at it. But, I mean, obviously, at this point of the game, his health has got to come first.
Anytime I get a chance to go see and talk to Mance Warner, dude, I'm always down for it. I got to talk to him and meet him quite a bit. Like, I think I've met him and talked to him so many times. Like, he knows who I am when he sees me. Like, he may not know my name, but he definitely knows who we are. So,
didn't you like one of the first AEW show that we went to, like back in
a drink of beer?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
And the funny thing was, man, is like I you know, it was just one of those deals where, because we were at a VFW, we were at the Eagles Club or a VFW. I don't remember where it was, but I just remember like upstairs was like 110 degrees. And when you walked down the stairway, the temperature immediately got cooler because there was just so many people in that room. And the bar was downstairs. And I remember walking to the bar and thinking, who the fuck's this guy in this satin jacket with a, you know, because he was wearing that satin jacket, the blue and white with the big dragon on the back. And he had his neckerchief on, and he was sitting there drinking a PBR, and I didn't think nothing of it, man. I had no idea who he was at the time. It was our first AAW show, so it was the first time I'd ever seen him. And I end up sitting down right beside him and ordering a PBR, and we sat there and talked. And then the next thing you know, they came up with a camera, and he started cutting a promo right where I was sitting next to him and shit. And that, I was like, son of a bitch. And that was the same night that I ran into MJF for the very first time. You met him in the parking lot.
I saw him in the parking lot with Patrick. Yeah.
That's when he had his arm in the sling. He had the brace on, and he had come walking in the bathroom while I was in there. And I turned around and he looked at me, and you could tell, like, I don't know, man, there was just like a thing there that happened. Like, I don't know. But I remember, like, you know, meeting him that night too. But yeah, man, I got to drink a beer and talk to Mance Warner, and been a fan ever since, dude. That was the night he wrestled Sami Callihan.
Yeah.
And Callihan got on the mic and said that he was going to be the future of professional wrestling. And that's been a few years. I still think it's going to happen. I'm a big Mance Warner fan, man. I'm hoping this interaction with Moxley is going to lead to him being somewhere in AEW.
He deserves it
at some point, because he definitely deserves it and stuff. But yeah, man, I'm going to be busy next month. And then we're going to Detroit. You know, I'm going to be up there visiting Dwayne Hyatt and his beautiful wife, Aisha. And I think we're going to stop in and see Joe Vaughn while we're there, and for my birthday. And so, yeah, man, next month is going to get crazy. And then we got
that's awesome for
that. So I'm excited about it.
So, all right. So we got a few things we're going to talk about. And again, we're still waiting on Jovan. His computer must still be updating.
He said to go ahead and get started. If we want to go ahead and start with the Jimmy question, we should do that. So,
you know what?
That's it, man.
That, you know what? That right there, that's what you call a segue.
That's a segue, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time. Shooting Shit proudly presents the Stirring Shit Facebook question of the week.
Now, while this isn't officially a question of the week, I just haven't had a chance to update the video, the intro video for this, but it's kind of a play off the question of the week. And lately we've been going to our fans on our Facebook page, which you can find on Facebook at Shooting Shit. Look us up. We've been asking our fans, like, what do they want us to talk about? And from our friend of the show, Jimmy, who runs Superpowers Comics, you know, soon to be the best place to get your comic books online.
Get your superpowers on.
Yeah. And just get our, right now I got my drink on last night, so I'm kind of taking it easy with the superpowers today.
I got to be honest with you, man.
Hey, he's just in time. You're just in time, Jovan. Yeah.
It's Jimmy's favorite podcaster.
Yeah. We were just getting ready to talk about Jimmy's question that he brought up for the topic, man.
Oh, you know I had to be here for that.
Yeah, Jimmy, I'm sure Jimmy would appreciate it too. So, but Jimmy brought up the question here. So, why is it a big deal when people on the main roster beat NXT champions for their belts? NXT is supposedly a developmental brand where wrestlers go to get good enough to be on the main roster, which he's very correct in that statement. So someone from Raw or SmackDown beating someone from NXT is like the White Sox beating the King County Cougars. But the only difference between that statement is that at this point in time, the King County Cougars could probably beat the fucking Chicago White Sox.
Oh, yeah. They would smash them little bitches. But that's just me, you know. And somebody,
you know what?
Somebody on this screen is supposed to be wearing a Cubs shirt here before long, because.
Oh, you know what? And I'm going to address that with you. I promise you, I'm going to honor that bet. But I have to ask you, and I want to get this on film, so that way you can't say I didn't try to, like, you know,
next year it's any rules. Next year it's Chicago, Milwaukee, whoever finishes with the best record.
All right, we'll do that. But my question is, does the Chicago Cubs, whatever I wear, does it have to be someone that actually played on the Cubs, or someone that was, say, in a movie that was on the Cubs?
Dude, as long as it says Cubs on it, if you want to wear your Rookie of the Year Cubs jersey, you go right ahead.
Pitcher's got a big butt.
I don't have a rookie of the year. I don't have a rookie of the year Henry Rowan Gardner Cubs jersey, but I do have a rookie of the year shirt.
He knew the name of the character.
Dude, rookie of the year's classic, man. And Thomas A. Nicholas, who played Henry Rowan Gardner, is like an awesome guy. I actually got to meet him a few weeks ago, and if you ever get a chance to, he's a really cool guy.
I love how the kid from Rookie of the Year is also in American Pie.
He grew up to go to American Pie.
And yes. Have you seen a picture of him lately, dude? He looks like somebody you wouldn't want around your teenage daughter.
No, he doesn't.
You know what he is? But I will say this, though, dude. He's a really cool down-to-earth guy.
I'm sure he is, man.
Yeah. Did he charm you, DDJ?
Everybody charms DDJ.
Dude, did you not see the picture I did of the jersey swap with him?
Yeah, he did a jersey swap with him. Yeah.
I remember that now.
Awesome. And that's so. But going back to the question, with the NXT roster being kind of developmental, it's supposed to get these men and women ready for Raw and SmackDown. Why are we seeing, what is the benefit of having, let's just say Becky Lynch, coming down and beating Tiffany Stratton and now the NXT Women's Champion, or Dominic Mysterio, who really I think makes a little bit more sense in this scenario, being the NXT North American champion. I mean, what benefit is it for the NXT, the NXT stars losing their championships to main roster stars? Guys, what do you say?
I'll go first if you're good with that, Jovan. You cool? All
right, go for it.
Two things. Obviously, I have different ideals. I'm not a big NXT guy. I don't get me wrong. Like, I keep track of it. I think some of their pay-per-views or PLEs have been really good lately.
They have.
But since they kind of like ruined it when Vince took it over, when Triple H was on his hiatus, I think they're just now back to building it to what it was at one point with Shawn Michaels there. And I don't know that Shawn has the brain or the mind that Triple H has and in what his concept of what he wanted NXT to be and what it was. But these guys are definitely going to get trained on how to be an in-ring performer. I don't know if Shawn Michaels is the greatest professional wrestler ever in the history of time, but he's damn sure one of the best in-ring workers I've ever seen, hands down. So that being said, and I'm going to veer off of this a little bit later because how I like to slide away from the original question. Not that this question wasn't great, and I love the fact that we have such great educated fans, and Jimmy Hayes is one of the best, man. Obviously, he knows what he's talking about. With the Becky thing, dude, I think that was a lot of we just need another Grand Slam champion because the fucking 13 that we have already.
I 100% agree with that.
So, and she never won it while she was down there. So somebody was like, hey, Becky, what do you want to do? And she's like, maybe I'll go win the NXT title. In this instance, I think Tiffany Stratton, like, it's a rub for her because obviously there's big plans for her. She's going to be brought up, man. She's going to be their next Mandy Rose, except I think she's a little bit more seasoned. I think it took Mandy a little bit longer to find her way. And so when we see Mandy's like run as the NXT champion, I thought that was the best Mandy Rose we've seen in her entire.
Agree with that too.
Run in WWE. In that case, I think it's a rub. In Dominik Mysterio's case, I feel like, dude, he should have been in developmental to begin with. Like, I feel like that's where he should have started. But because they were doing, his dad carried him for the first year he was in the business and actually working.
Yeah.
But Dominik's got such nuclear fucking heat that.
And he's gotten better. He has improved.
Yes. That's he's still slow. I mean, there's still times where he's doing some of those moves, and you could tell he's still a little tentative. But I figure in another year and a half, the wrestling skills are going to catch up to the promo. But he obviously knows what he's doing. Like they're definitely accentuating
the positives. Yes,
and not really paying much attention to the fact that he's Mysterio in name only, and not really his dad yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know that him carrying around the North American title on the main shows and not really giving it a rub on NXT is good for the business or not, but I do think that at some point I get bringing the guys from Raw and SmackDown down to get ratings, like Rhea and Damian Priest. Like, they've all done it. A bunch of them have done it.
Yeah.
But when you got main roster stars carrying developmental titles, I don't know how that helps the business. It might help Tiffany Stratton because it's Becky Lynch, and she's going to give the belt back up to her at some point, I'm sure.
Well, I know at the No Mercy premium live event, they announced, I think it was on NXT this week, that it's going to be Becky Lynch defending the title against Tiffany Stratton in an Extreme Rules match.
So, and it, no, that'll be nice. Well, but then that means, you know what that means? Like, eventually, like, they're going to put the strap back on Tiffany, and then she's going to lose it to Roxanne Perez or somebody else in the next couple weeks. And, you know, and the real loss in all of this is, I think I made it pretty abundantly clear when they took the belt off Mandy Rose and put it on Roxanne what they were doing. They went from an OnlyFans model to the cutest, sweetest, youngest, most innocent.
We don't talk about Roxanne Perez on the show.
I'm not talking.
Hold him back.
He's so protective of that little trick. I don't understand what his problem is.
It's Texas.
It's a Texas thing.
But right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that she was ready to carry the title. I think she did a good job with her little run, but obviously that's what they did. It was like,
testing the waters.
Because of it, yeah. Now, as soon as they took it off of her and they started flowing it around immediately, like Indy Hartwell won, lost, or what, like, didn't she have it for like a day or some shit?
She had it for like a week or so. And then she got hurt the night she won it, but then she got called up to the main roster.
So what do they immediately do? They put it on a blonde stacked, you know, chick who, you know, I mean, she's basically Mandy Rose, just taller and thinner. Come on, man. So I'm not saying that Tiffany can't go. She can. But there's definitely a type that they want carrying the title right now. And Roxanne Perez is kind of lost in the mix. And I feel like she's a better worker than Tiffany.
She is.
She is.
You know, as far as in-ring, now Tiffany's got the look and the talk. I mean, like, she's going to get heat. Roxanne's going to be – she's going to fall into that.
It's that baby face.
That Sasha Banks, like, she's going to have to earn
it. You know what? I got an even better comparison for Roxanne Perez and Sasha Banks. I think she could be the next AJ Lee.
Ooh, that's good, bro. And, you know, I love me some AJ Lee, boy.
I do, too. You've been watching Heels?
I have not yet.
No, man.
I'm waiting for all the episodes to get posted.
It did. The second season just finished.
I know. Okay. Well, then now I'm gonna go pay my $5 for 3 months so I can get started. Yeah, I got so many streaming services, man. I can't keep adding shit. But I literally just watched 1883 last week and finished.
Oh, that was good shit.
And I finished 1923 because I have Paramount Plus and
very good shit.
All that shit's good. So, yeah,
Joe, I'm sorry, that dude, man. Touches is great.
Yeah, Tyler Sheridan is a badass dude, and I don't know, a lot of you guys don't know this or not, but he played the sheriff on Sons of Anarchy.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the reason why he left there is because he felt like his character could be doing more, and he had disagreements about it. And they said, "Well, if you want to do it, go write your own fucking show." And he was like, "All right."
I mean,
And he left Kurt Sutter sitting in the dust, man, because he's got
Tulsa King was badass. Tulsa the mayors King, of whatever is badass.
Mayor, yep. And he's got the Yellowstone is obviously a massive hit. All the spinoffs. Dude. There's the Four Sixes is going to be another one that's coming up. I cannot
wait for the
Four Sixes. And, dude, I love the fact that he's getting back into the Western genre. I love a good cowboy movie, man.
Me too.
You just don't see him. Like, I think the last really good one was Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood. Yep. And so, like, I watched 1883, and even his character work as an actor. Mm-hmm. Like, he's on Yellowstone. He plays a character named Travis on Yellowstone. He was in 1883.
Oh, shit, he's Travis?
He's Travis. That's Taylor. And the guy that was on in 1883, he was like the Plains lawman, the guy with the black beard.
Yeah.
That's Taylor Sheridan there as well. Shit. So he's a great character actor, man. I mean, he's a really good actor, very talented guy. I mean, I'm sure just by the way he carries himself, he's a little bit fucking arrogant, but who wouldn't be when you were that?
Yeah, dude, you're knocking it out of the park to be arrogant.
So what do you think, Jovan, about Jimmy's question? And when we get done, after you guys give your takes, I got a spinoff on this question. I'd love to throw it at you guys. So go for it.
Sure. All right. I see where Jimmy's going with the question, and I get it. You don't ever want to think, that your guy for the majors can't hit it in Triple A. They're supposed to go down there and knock it out of the park every time they're there.
Yeah, man. Unless it's a rehab thing.
But that's my point. The only time it works is when it's a rehab assignment. Yeah. Rehab assignments that have gone well, Finn Balor. Finn Balor went down there, got the title, changed it up, came back under the Judgment Day. Beautiful way for him to retool that badass Prince vibe.
Yeah.
To come back and do the Judgment Day. To me, it wasn't much of a rehab, but it was much needed practice, which is a lot of times happens when they send you down to AAA. You need that polishing.
Yeah.
Dominic needed those matches. Being the North American title champion, especially that match with Wesley, who I'm very high on. Hell of a worker.
Yep.
Dom put on a great match with Wesley. Now having that NA title is going to give him a little bit more access to those people who are still a little bit raw, but they're talented. So we're not seeing and being as judgmental as we would on the main roster guys, because those guys look sometimes a step ahead of Dom, while the NXT guys, he looks like he's the big dog.
He can hang with them. Fish. And he's actually getting ready to – on Raw, he's scheduled to face Dragon Lee for the North American title. So that's going to be a great opportunity for him to get some work in against a guy who's uber talented. And this is going to be a really great opportunity for Dragon Lee to really get himself – out there in front of, you know, a huge crowd and stuff. So
exactly. So I mean, in that point and sense, how that works out to me, I love that part.
Yeah.
But that's because it's seen as those rehab assignments. Because you know it's you're going down a level. You're not at the same level that you were on the main roster.
Right.
So to me it makes sense in that type of field. To have them go down just to go down, I don't like it. To have the title for no reason, I don't like it. Becky Lynch, as I said last week, which was my big take last week, I think she did the NXT move because I think she's hanging it up. I think she is really close to calling it a day. That's one of the last things that she needed to cross off her list to be a Grand Slam. And now when Becky Lynch walks away, she's going to be revered as one of the best just because she had done it all.
In all fairness, man, she was one of the best before. She didn't need that.
Oh no, I know. We know it.
That's just my opinion. Yeah, that's just my
opinion, know it, man. But right. Sometimes
I get what you're I agree with you. It was like a bucket list thing.
Yeah, sometimes you know I just want it
before I go.
I don't need it, but I want it. And
yeah, I get that. So it's just one more to add to the collection.
Exactly.
One more to add to the trophy case.
Yeah.
So in her sense, I could see it, but just a mindless use of sending people down there, because I'm not going to legitimately believe that someone from NXT is going to beat somebody that's been on the main roster that's been getting a solid push, which is also a reason why I think Dom had to go down, is because they wanted the Judgment Day to have all the titles. They want him to look strong, but Dom's not taking the title off of Walter. Are you fucking serious? And it's like they got him.
Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know about Dominic Mysterio when people believe that his dad
That was so random, but it works so perfectly.
His dad, who's a foot shorter and 100 pounds lighter and 52 years old, has a better shot at winning the title than Dominic Mysterio.
His dad has been doing it. That's why Ray's made a career out of doing that.
Well, yeah, man, that's.
He's made us believe, damn it. But Jimmy, great question, man. I 100% I get it. It doesn't make sense when it doesn't make sense, but they can make it make sense if they keep it like we're saying. It's the minor if you're rehabbing and you're working on shit. Go ahead, Dennis. I know you're itching.
So the one thing I'm gonna say, because you guys pretty much really perfectly encapsulated most of what I was going to say, so I'm not gonna waste our listeners' time and rehash it. The one thing is that I like Javon's take on Becky Lynch winning the title because she's hanging it up. And I mean, it wouldn't be surprised. I mean, she's a mother. I think she wants to be home with her daughter more and stuff like that.
I think she wants to have it.
Right. They do too. And they need a son.
And there's nothing wrong with that and stuff. But I feel like the only way that I really think I would like Becky winning the title is if she drops it back to Stratton and this makes Stratton come out looking stronger, because this is ultimately what needs to happen. Like, it can't be Becky Lynch, you know, wins this and then she's like, okay, you know what? I'm done holding this title. I'm going to, you know, you know, relinquish it, and then we see like a battle royal or a tournament. I think Tiffany needs to be the one that takes the belt off Becky, and she needs to come out looking stronger, because I think Tiffany Stratton, just if her career, if she keeps going on the path that she's at right now, she's going to be something special in a few years. And that's really all I'm going to say about it, because again, you guys did such a great job of basically already stating how what I was going to give. So, but also too, I want to quick thing about Dominic Mysterio. I mean, we know he's got the match against Dragon Lee, and you know, coming up on Raw. Then he's got that match against Mustafa. I mean, oh wait a minute, no, he doesn't. That got canceled.
Too early. We're not talking about that yet, Sean. What was your spinoff question?
So, all right. So here's my spinoff question, because I was very interested in this, and because you know, to me, when you say somebody's a Grand Slam champion, there should be some significance to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel, and it's just my opinion, that maybe the old guy in me, I feel that if there's, you know, more than a handful, is it really that significant as they kind of play it out to be? It's like, you know, the Miz's deal is I'm a 2-time Grand Slam champion. Hmm. I'm not going to take away from the Miz's career. The guy's the DDP of this generation. He's worked his ass off. He is, man. He worked his ass off to be in this business.
I'm not going to disagree with that at all.
He's worked his ass off to be in this business. He's a great promo. He's a great heel. He's a good worker. You know,
he's a great ambassador for the company.
And he's a good, and for as far as the company goes, like there's like the guy literally loves what he's doing. And I'm not going to piss on the Miz, dude. I'm not. Do I like seeing him get his ass beat? Yeah, but that's the point of his character. It's kind of
his
shtick. Like, I'm going to do shit to piss you off and everything. But, you know, so the Miz is a grand champion. Like, how many grand champions do we got? And I think the last number I checked was like there's 30. And that's been in the generation since the Attitude Era till now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Since we wanted to grab the brass ring.
Right. So, and you got women that are, you know, are women that are grand champions. And like, I mean, like, I think pretty much like Sasha, Bailey, Charlotte, and Becky, they're all Grand Slam champions. So there's four in that one generation of women that became Grand Slam champions. Like, I just feel like that we're kind of whoring that phrase a little bit. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree with that, actually.
You know, like, is being a Grand Slam champion that hard to obtain? Because it seems like it's pretty goddamn easy to do it right now.
Well, as many titles as they have in the company.
And that's another thing, too. And so, like, the Grand Slam champion, like, when you say Grand Slam, right, like, I feel like the only legitimate Grand Slam champion was probably Ric Flair, in the sense of like the NWA. He won tag belts. He won USA title. He was
an intercom- he won the television championship.
Multiple companies, you know, not for the WWE to say, we got this many Grand Slam champions. And, you know, I mean, it's the same group of people fighting each other pretty much all the goddamn time. And don't get me wrong, dude, like the WWE, like the Usos are a great tag team. Love the Usos. I think
they're a Grand Slam tag team.
They're a top tier Grand Slam tag team, but you've won two belts, the SmackDown belts, the Raw belts. That's it. You know, if you go to AEW and win the tag belts there, and Impact win the tag, you know, like to me, the only real Grand Slam tag team, there's two.
Just FTR.
Three. My bad. There's three.
Did you not count FTR?
Because I was thinking the Road Warriors, because of all the territory days, AAW or AEW, yeah. AWA, NWA, Memphis, like everywhere they went, they won tag belts.
And the Dudleys.
And I guess FTR hasn't been an Impact, though, right? So they haven't won the titles there.
It's the only one they're missing.
That's the only one they're missing. So I feel like they should go and do it. Like, to me, the thing about WWE is, like, it's kind of an island to itself, man. I mean,
it is.
It really is. And to say these guys are the greatest, like, don't get me wrong, Shawn Michaels could have worked in any company.
Mm-hmm.
Any company. And Hogan pulled it off. I mean, I think his WCW run was bullshit, and it was all built predicated on everything that he accomplished before that.
He was also an NJPW champion.
So there's that, man. You know, but like a lot of those guys now, like, you know, a lot of them don't transfer over to the other companies. They try to, but it just doesn't take. I mean, most of them will make their bones on the fact that they did work in WWE, and that's why they get signed everywhere else, because people know them. You know, guys like Heath Slater and Rhino and these guys that, you know, were great in ECW, had a little bit of a run in W, you know, got a cup of coffee in the WWE, but you know,
coffee.
I just, to me, it's a dumb for WWE to say they won every title that we've ever had and you've never worked anywhere else but here. You know what I mean? Like, I'd love to hear what you guys think about that or your thoughts on that. Am I just being WWE prejudiced or
no, you make a good point. I mean, in the world of the WWE where they're the only ones around and they really don't acknowledge, anyone outside of, you know, WWE, most of the time, every once in a while, they'll squeeze something in or whatever. But yeah, I mean, in the world of the WWE, that, you know, that's what defines a Grand Slam champion is what they said. But in terms of the broader picture,
yeah,
I think you nailed it right on the head.
And so here's my thing: the WWE, and I think it's the same reason that, you know, we were having this discussion is because they've made themselves, like they like to say, their own universe, right? Mm-hmm. If it's happened here, is the only place it's happened. So you have to win all of our accolades for you to be the man, to be the big top. You know, our big draws, our Grand Slam champions. But it's like Sean said, there's been 30 of them because all of your big draws, you want to push merch with. You've got to make them the big time thing in whatever era they're in. So yeah, they're going to give them all the belts. You know what? Is it overrated? Yes. Is it overhyped? Yes. Because some of these Grand Slam champions, I guarantee you, can't get over in other companies because they wouldn't be booked at the way Vince books them because Vince saw the money in them.
Right.
On the flip side, you have people like an FTR whose work rate makes them the champion because they're that good, they're the champions.
Yeah.
You have people who realistically could be champions throughout different companies just because of their work rate. And I'm not going to say Kenny Omega because, you know, they call me an Omega Mark at times.
No, but you're not wrong, man. Kenny Omega should float up to at the top of every company that he works at because he is one of the top guys in the business. You're absolutely right. So and you're absolutely right. You are a mark for Kenny Omega.
He's an even bigger mark for Moose.
A bigger mark for Jimmy out there, Jimmy.
We love Jimmy, man. I love
Jimmy's a big mark for you, so
he's a good guy. I like him.
He is.
Jovan's a big mark for Jimmy being a big mark. So,
but I don't think you hit it.
My ankle still hurts, man. Son of a bitch.
Wasn't that bad. He didn't want you in the photo. That's all it was. Yeah.
No, I don't know if he didn't, but you definitely did want me in the photo.
No, it was more Jovan that didn't want you in the photo.
Damn right.
Jovan wanted the glory for himself.
Yeah. Girl. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But all right. Well, at least I didn't cut you from the show. I just threw you out of a photo, man.
I know, man. I know.
That's Dennis, you have a long list of people who've been released since this past week.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know what? Let me pull it up because I know we have the one in our chat here. I will get that up here.
Oh, there's one in the chat? Let me see here.
Give me 1 second here. I will.
For those of you who don't know, while Dennis is looking for the list of names, WWE recently completed its merger with the UFC. We talked about it at length last week under the guise of their new name, TKO. With that, we had a rollout of cuts. A lot of these were expected because we knew it was going to happen.
For sure.
Some names were shocking, like Matt Riddle. Some names were expected because they haven't been on TV.
Matt Riddle being released really a shocker?
You're killing me here. Let me get through with the announcing and then we can get on the topic, man. What the hell? Were you not here last week? This is how it works. There were some that were shocking, like Matt Riddle. And there was some that you expected to come in because, you know, we haven't seen them on TV like Elias. So let's get into it. Yeah. Dennis, do you have the list? Now you
yes. go. Okay. So now, I'm just going to read what we got so far. We have, and I think, damn right, about to clinch the division. We have Texas is back in the game, so you should be happy about that.
We've got to fight every game this fucking month.
So okay, here's the list. So we got Mustafa Ali. We got the one, and this is the one that really upset me the most. We had Rick Boogs. Aaliyah.
Dude, you're such a fucking
He loves the jobbers. Go ahead.
We have Elias, Riddick Moss, Top Dalla, Shelton Benjamin, Emma, Dolph Ziggler, who I think was the one that really shocked everybody. Dana Brooke, Mansoir, Marseille.
I don't know who the fuck those two are.
Premium male models.
Maximum male models.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then a lot of these ones here are going to be some of the NXT names. We have Quincy Elliott, Shanky, Ulyssa Leon, somebody by the name of Kevin Ventura Cortez.
Somebody by the name.
I commend Jiro, the jacket guy from NXT. He always had the jackets on with his face on. Brooklyn Barlow and Bryson Montana. So a lot of NXT, but there are a few. Yeah. But it's always, sad when someone loses, a job, but just unfortunately, that's the nature of the beast. If you're a fan of some of these guys,
you might be the only guy I know that even knows who the fuck that guy is.
Yeah.
Looks like Jack Freddie Mercury.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Isn't he the one
engaged to Emma?
Yeah.
No, that was Riddick Moss.
Oh, he got released too. Okay. Riddick Moss is released.
Yeah, and he was one of the names I wrote and stuff. But I mean,
so they're getting married. They're both out of work. That's awesome.
That relationship
is going nowhere.
The crazy thing about the Emma release is I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter, but like when they made the announcement that Elimination Chamber was going to be emanating from Perth, Australia, she got on there and she was like, excited about because it's her home country, that kind of thing. And then like an hour later, she's like, well, I've got released, so I'm not going to be there or something. Yeah.
What happened was she posted that and somebody went, oh shit, we should let her know. When she got a triple A, she's like, so hey, I just seen your post. Want to let you know.
We know Hunter doesn't make those calls, dude.
You're going to be in Australia, but you're not going to be wrestling.
He was probably like, you can still come to the show, but you're going to have to buy a ticket.
But you can't be backstage.
Hunter doesn't make those calls, dude. You know it's,
hey there, Emma. I hate to be the one to tell you this, but you're going to be at the show, but you're going to have to buy a ticket. Yeah, we've got your trash bag ready.
You're fired.
So obviously there's a couple of names on that list. Like the Shelton Benjamin, give that guy, make him a producer, give him a job.
Yeah. How does he not have a backstage role with as much?
How does he not? I can see, especially like, you got so much good young African American talent there,
and he still looks good. The Duke,
and he can still go. And the guy is—he's like this generation's Lance Storm, man. Like he just gets no credit whatsoever.
Dad, like that comparison.
Just a great, great worker, but just never clicked. Like nothing ever really clicked as far as with the fans or whatever. Like everybody respects him and loves him as a worker, but
it's the only thing that was stopping him.
But it's just, yeah. And then the two that I'm going to speak on just for a minute. One, I'm going to say this right off the bat. Like, I've never been a Dolph Ziggler fan. Like, never. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, I mean, can the guy work? Yeah. He oversells so hard that there were times with him, I was just like, dude, every match looked like he was Hogan. Shawn Michaels from
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam. Every match seemed like he was Michaels from wrestling Hogan. He just overselled so much. But I mean, respect where credit where credit's due. The guy was in the company for 20 years. He had over 1,800 matches, which the only person who had more matches than him was Kane. So, ring warrior, all respect in the world for what he did for the business, the people he worked with. But let's be honest, man, he hasn't done shit. He hasn't been a part of us. He's just been getting
smacked. He hasn't been relevant for a while.
He's been getting beat up by people for about a year now. He's just going out there, setting him up to lose. Another one who I feel is like the female version of Dolph Ziggler is Dana Brooke, man. I feel like here's a girl that worked her fucking ass off to be a professional wrestler. She is a less talented with no and doesn't have the name of Natty.
Ooh. Wow. Shots fired.
One that I also...
And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean, right. Like, I feel like if she... If she had the name Hart,
no, and Sean's she right,
she would have got more respect.
If Natty wasn't Big Jim Anvil's daughter, she'd be gone, bro.
She'd be gone, but because she's a Hart, and don't get me wrong, like I love Natty. Natty's one. She's one of the best women. Okay, scratch that shit. I'm not gonna classify. She's one of the best in-ring workers I've ever seen.
I love her Natty sister more, but she can go.
Well, that's just like the way her sister looks.
I know. You know. Yeah, Jovan.
And she's getting married to Lee Johnson anyway, bro. So that girl's going to be wrecked.
What?
Yeah, she's
engaged. I thought Lee Johnson was with Julia Hart.
Yeah, no, they broke up.
Yeah, no, they're engaged. Her and Julia Hart are getting married. Lee Johnson and Julia Hart are engaged.
Jethro, we're talking about not.
I know you're talking about OnlyFans.
Julia Hart is not Natty Neidhart's sister.
Okay, whatever. No, I was talking. I was talking about another Hart, man. I'm not talking about what he's talking about. I got a wife.
Oh, okay.
I can't talk about the porn openly in front of people like Jovan does.
He can't talk about the porn and stuff, and he also can't talk about Maggie Lee.
What's I can't.
Porn?
Who's Maggie Lee?
I have no idea.
I don't know who that is.
But let me tell you one thing. Julia Hart, though. Talk about coming a long way. She's
working, dude.
She's working. Yeah. This character's badass with the House of Black.
And the match, she just had a good match with Sky Blue, and that's two very young, very up-and-coming young women that I think...
She's going to get this title off of Statlander, man. I have a very good feeling that she's going to take it off of her.
Maybe.
That's what it sounds like.
I feel like that TBS title is like the female Intercontinental title, man. That thing's going to get passed around like fucking... Tammy Lynn Sitch at a fucking ECW show.
It's going to get passed around more than Tammy. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
But no, shout out to Dana Brooke, man. Dana did everything she could to everything they asked her to do. She did. And I think she's a good worker. I can see Dana going to Impact. And
maybe she
could. I think she would benefit so much from going to Impact. I really do.
Her body, everything, man.
I think she retires and she chases down Batista because, you know, there was a little something there.
I like the notion of Dana Brooke going to Impact. I think she'd be great there. You guys each pick one of the release talents and where you think they should go. Who wants to start? Otherwise, I can start.
Go ahead, Dennis.
I'm outside of the obvious one of Dolph Ziggler going to AEW to be with his brother.
Well, thanks for spoiling that one.
And stuff. I mean, unless you want to say, honestly, I'm going to stick with Dolph Ziggler. I would love to see him go to New Japan.
Dude, Dolph Ziggler go to New Japan, they might put him at the head of Bullet Club. I don't see him... I don't see him doing what everybody else did. Like, he's not going to go over there and get big and come back, man. Like, I think Dolph will end up getting a job working down in NXT as a producer or a trainer or something.
He's doing quite well for himself, though, with the comedy tour and stuff. So, yeah, he does.
Dude, he's got 20 years worth of WWE money.
Mm-hmm. He's good.
He's good. So, if he's not good, then he's just a dumbass and don't know what to do with his money. Because anybody that has 20-year run in WWE should be sitting very, very pretty. That's why everybody wants to go there. Nobody goes, I want to go there and expand my wrestling career. They go there. Even Dustin Rhodes Dusty Rhodes said the most money he ever put in the bank was when he was in the WWE, and he was the least Dusty he ever was in his career when he was in the WWE.
Right.
He still made polka dots cool.
Oh, he so did, bro. Yeah, Dusty was just cool, motherfucker, man.
All right, so what about you guys? Who do you think one release talent, and where do you think they should go?
I would like to see Top Dollar do something. I just like him. I do. I think with the music, the guy's talented. You know, I like his character. I think they had something really great going in NXT, and you know, Vince is such a dick for big guys that he just like, we'll bring him up and fucking wasted it. You know, he could be in AEW. He could be back with Swerve, man. I could see him being in AEW.
Mogul Embassy.
Mogul Embassy. And
I wouldn't mind that.
You know, there's your muscle, man. But it's going to depend on if they can get him a contract, because he kind of pissed all over Tony Khan and the Bucks and that guys. So, but we'll see. You know, wrestling business, if nothing, is very fucking forgiving. A lot of sins get looked over when it comes to that bottom dollar, baby. That's why we're going to see CM Punk in the WWE before the year's over.
He'll be a Survivor Series. It's already announced.
Chicago. I'll believe it when
I'm going to tell you what. I don't know that Phil should come back and keep going. Like, I don't know, because that, I mean, as much as I love CM Punk, and I do.
Oh, he shouldn't, but he will.
I do. But his AEW run wasn't great. I love that he came back and there were great moments.
I'm so happy you can admit that.
I can. Yeah.
How do you feel?
I'm not a dick, bro. I mean, I can be a dick, but I'm not a dick.
Yeah.
Tell me that when he shows up at Survivor Series and his music hits, I don't give a fuck what anybody says. That place is going to fucking pop.
Well, of course, because it's in Chicago. Absolutely. He could be fucking Charles Manson in Chicago and they'll pop for him.
Dude, I'm going to say this for the last time, and maybe your big Texas ass will understand it. I'm going to get real.
Wait. He's no longer big Texas ass. He's big Detroit ass.
No, dude, he's still big Texas, brother. That's where he's from. That's where he was born. He didn't move after he was five. He's a Texas guy. He'll tell you he's a fucking Texas guy. So I'm going to get real close so you understand what I'm saying.
Hook 'em horns.
Look at me right here, dude. Right here. Chicago is the greatest fucking wrestling city in the fucking world. LA can suck a dick. Dallas can eat a barrel. Philly can bite my fucking ass.
Yeah!
Is the greatest wrestling city in the fucking world. Dick the Bruiser, the Crusher, the Road Warriors, Lex Luger, CM fucking Punk, baby. They all
Bobby come. Heenan.
Sky Blue, Bobby Heenan.
Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Bruiser Brody.
Dude, The Undertaker couldn't draw in anywhere else but WWE. He wouldn't have made any money anywhere else but WWE. I couldn't say it. I tried to say it with the same thing that I could do it. But you know where all those guys headline the major main event pay-per-views? You know where all those guys, yeah, dude, but like you can't. I love the Von Erichs, bro, but that window closed pretty quickly. You know, as much as I love them, I feel, and I know you're going to take this the wrong way, but don't, because I hope you know how much I love world class, what they meant to the wrestling business and the Von Erichs. I am a diehard. That's probably not the best choice of words. I'm a big Von Erichs fan. Do you think they'd still be as big as they hadn't all died? You think, I mean, does it kind of fall under that Owen Hart thing? Because you know what I mean? Like everybody, don't get me wrong.
This is my thing.
I catch shit because of the Owen thing. Like, I didn't find him entertaining. I found him annoying. Was he a good kid? He work? Yeah. But was he like one of the greatest?
He was the best Hart
thing. You know, he was not the best Hart. He wasn't even close to being the best Hart. He wasn't even, yeah, fuck that. He wasn't even the best Hart in Canada, let alone WWE.
But I think that this is the difference, right? With Owen, you look back at his career with rose-filled glasses because he died on the job, right?
No, and I get that. Bro. He died in the ring. No disrespect to him. I'm not trying to.
No. No disrespect to him and the legacy. But, I mean, I'm getting to what you're saying. With Owen, I think that's the reason why a lot of us tend to look at Owen fondly and we're like, oh, well, you know, he died doing what he loved. For the Von Erichs, completely different. Outside Demons, which, if you ask me, built to the lore of the Von Erichs, yes. But prior to them dying off, they were big. They were bigger than they were going to be. Yeah. I think they were at their peak before they started having the tragedies. So I don't think the deaths played into the big fame that they had gotten. Because, I mean, yeah, you get what we got, one death. Everybody starts to do more for the family. Another death, and, you know, you really start to – the three boys that are left starts to do more. And then you're down to just Kevin. And
So two things real quick. One, we should do an entire episode on World Class. Just we talk should. About the history of it. That would be great. I think that would be awesome. We can bring Rashad in on that if you guys – or cool, because I know he knows, or somebody else that is real good with the history down there. Maybe your mom, dude. That'd be cool to bring mom in, because I know she has a vast knowledge of the Von Erichs.
She was there for most of it.
Make it happen, Jovan.
That would be awesome, bro.
Let's get Mama Tuhati on.
Real quick, how long we been going? We got okay.
55 minutes.
All right, so all right, 2 minutes, real quick. Quick. Best Von Erich. Who was the best?
That's hard,
isn't it?
The only one I ever really saw was Kerry, because he was, you know,
Texas in the tornado.
I don't think I can say it was Kerry.
I don't think but going back and seeing what I've seen with what limited I've seen on World Class, because I'll be honest, I haven't watched a lot of World Class. I'd probably have to say David.
Yeah, you might be right.
Then you would be you. Would be correct, DDJ. Yeah. I think that's I you know, as far as like general knowledge, I think a lot of people would say David was the best of them. My personal favorite of all the boys was Kevin. I just loved Kevin, man.
I like Kevin's look.
Kevin was just a, like, people don't really understand. That kid was jacked.
Yeah.
He wrestled barefoot.
Yep.
You know, I mean, there's stories of him like pulling teeth with fucking pliers. I mean, he was just a tough kid.
Yeah, fucking pulling his trailer, pulling one of the trailer homes.
Yeah, and didn't really want to be a pro wrestler. He wanted to be a football player, and it just didn't work out for him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was in college playing football and then wrestling during the summer when he was on breaks and stuff like that. So I was always a big fan. I mean, don't get me wrong, Kerry was like the rock star.
He was the rock star, but I don't think he wasn't the total.
David was his dad. David was hands.
That's a good one.
David was hands down the epitome of who Fritz Von Erich was as a pro wrestler.
Yeah, he was Fritz 2.0. Damn, I
great promo. And don't get me wrong, like, the funny thing about David was, is like, he was kind of tall, goofy, redhead, blue eyes, really deep Southern Texas accent. But man, you just love that guy.
Yeah,
and he was a badass. He was the biggest one.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he wasn't – Kerry was jacked. Kevin was jacked. David wasn't all, like, muscled up like that. And, he was just a big, strong country.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, and I'm going to yield to you because you're a resident, you know, world-class expert.
No, I don't know about that, but okay. Well, no, I really don't, because Jovan's pretty knowledgeable.
Well, you both are. But wasn't David supposed to be the one that originally took the title away from Flair and have some run?
Yeah, the plan was that David was going to be the NWA champion, and in truth, and I'm not just saying this, I honestly believe that David Flair could have carried the belt and had a career. Ric Flair would not be the guy.
You mean David Von Erich, not David Flair.
Yeah, David Von Erich. I apologize. Jesus Christ. That's
a big time difference there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Texas. I am sorry. I am so sorry to the state of Texas. David Von Erich, if he would have lived and had the opportunity, Ric Flair don't win the title 16 times. His career trajectory would have changed.
That's so. Just listening to Sean's little thing there, I think I come up with our episode title for this episode. We'll call it "I'm Sorry, Texas."
I love how Dennis is trying to do all of my jobs. That's it. I'll let you write the summary page for this week too, Dennis.
I'm just trying
to help out.
No. You want to do it? Go for it. You got it. I'm gonna take this week off. Anyways,
there's already enough spelling errors, man. Do we really want Dennis?
I spell check it most of the time, bastards. You guys get fine on the time before it gets posted, so y'all should be reading it. Anyways.
Dude, I just show up and look pretty, man. Don't give me.
Give me Mustafa Ali to Impact Wrestling so we can wrap this shit up.
That's a good one.
Like going, David was the best, man. David was the best. Von Erich had the most, I think, Big Show worthiness. But once he passed, you know, hats off to Karrion, the Yellow Rose really took over and held the family name and took it to big heights. But David, I think, oh, man, he could have done what that in Japan. Been. He could have been that big monster gaijin there. And then came David could have had like the trajectory of how Bruiser Brody was doing over there.
Yeah.
He could have been a big time star there. And when he came here, Vince would have wanted David. But
yeah,
could have been a big time difference.
Instead, he got Kerry, who at that time was like
one footed. But
you know, I just mean life. Damn. Just got the best of him. Well, that's true, dude. He had one foot, so.
No, I know. True.
But that guy did more on one foot than a lot of guys do with
shit that I could do with two. Fuck that. What are we talking about for final thoughts? Who wants to start us with the closings?
I'll start out real quick.
We're not going to talk about The Rock?
No, not this
week. We're going to save that for next week.
Okay. All right.
So again, I just want to just give a shout out to my nephew Adonis and his lovely wife Devin for their marriage, and I wanted to take a moment
congratulations.
From the Shooting Shit Boys.
And I wanted to take a moment to thank them for trusting me enough to allowing me to do my thing for the first time legally in the state of Illinois. And also
did you do it illegally at some point?
I know, right? I was about to say.
The way that sounded is like
I had questions too.
You've done it illegally before.
This is my first marriage ceremony of any kind. So. But also to be able to like kind of handle the reception, playing the music and stuff like that. It was just such an awesome day. You know, it just the weather couldn't have been better.
Did you make them say "I do" at the end, or did you let them woo?
No, I did. I made them say "I do" and stuff. So. They did the idea and stuff. There is video out there. I want to give a shout out to my cousin Steven because somehow that day found out that they didn't have anyone to videotape the ceremony. And I felt like, you know, that needed to happen. So I talked with my cousin Steven and he used my phone and basically shot the entire wedding off my iPhone. So a little bit of a project for me this week is putting not quite close to being a professional looking wedding video, but at least they'll have something. So
there you go. Some memories. Go.
Yeah. So, because it's one of those things, you know, and you know, having my own wedding video, you know, from when I got married and stuff, it's just something that I don't want to see anybody I care about to not have, because to be able to have something to go back and look on those memories and just how awesome a day that was. It's just something that's really special. So,
aww. You big old softy.
Good, man.
Yeah, I am.
I'm proud of you for pulling it off, dude.
Me too. Seriously.
I knew you were nervous about it. I the only piece of advice I gave him was I told him, like, dude, just pretend like you're up there playing fucking Wrestling Family Feud, bro. Mm-hmm. Don't get nervous when you're doing that shit.
You know? He did.
I told him, I was like, don't be nervous. You talk in front of people weekly. What the hell?
Yeah, but it's in this basement, man. You know, he's got to keep, you know, Colt Cabana quiet over there in the corner.
Colt, that now.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
It puts the lotion. Just kidding.
All right, who wants to go next for final thoughts?
I'll go, man. That way Jovan can close us out like only he can.
I
had a great weekend this weekend. Got to go do some work for Copeland's Bar and Grill here in Manteno. We had our Oktoberfest, and we had a great weekend for the nonprofit that Gabby works for, Project Headspace and Timing. If you, want to take part or feel like supporting a nonprofit, what they do is they offer support for veterans, mental health support, housing, just anything and everything, groceries, a ride. You know, they do fishing trips and shooting and bows and you know, mountain biking, and there's just a lot of things going on. So, you know, get out there, look it up, Project Headspace and Timing. Raised about $1,500 for them this weekend, selling merch and stuff like that, which is very cool. And because of our affiliation there, I was able to work security this weekend and raise a little something for my personal nonprofit, which is the Emmerich family. And we appreciate that. I had a great weekend, man. I met some really good people. The kind of people that, that they're going to end up being friends for a while. Got to see a lot of old friends that came through while I was working security and stuff like that. Some things in the works for the podcast, and I'm hoping are going to be really great.
If they pan out like you explained to us before we started recording, it's going to be great.
I think it's going to be a really good thing for us. Want to give a shout out to Joey. I know it's been a week for him, dude. We love you. We appreciate you so much. And, you know, ditto, bro. If you need me, I'm just a flight away. So, really proud of my buddy over there in the Milwaukee jersey. I know he was really nervous this weekend and be able to get up there. I mean, it's not easy to do, especially when you got family and people that you care about and you love watching you do it. You want to do a good job, man. So I'm glad you were able to pull that off. Talk to my brother down here up there in Detroit. I know he's getting a little lonely because he's up there all alone, but you know, love you, bro. I'm always thinking of you. I try to reach out as much as I can. This week's just been crazy. Looking forward to seeing you next month.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time. Next month will be the Wolf's 53rd birthday. So I'm looking forward to my best top 10 rant. So you motherfuckers better get going on that. A lot of things going on, man. Like, you know, I kind of had a little bit of a breakthrough this week. The mental health stuff and everything gets me down. But when I do not come in here and say something silly while I'm making a sentimental point, I'm just joking.
Yeah, Sean was happily married.
Was happily married. Come in and say hi. No, it's okay. They can see me. No, they can see me. Everybody say hi.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So, you know, watching Gabby do her thing this weekend and the great thing about having a wife that is like, you know, I described her two ways. When you're a hammer, everything's a nail. And, Gabby's tornado and the rest of the world's just a trailer park, man. She just cuts her own path through everything. And, you know, when you have grown men who have basically killed for a living, you know, been overseas in the worst parts of the world fighting for our freedom and everything, come up to you and tell you just like how much your wife means to them and how much they appreciate what she does, that she's basically taken in these guys and just become like a second mom to all of them. And to watch that grow and the things that she's doing, dude, just makes me want to be better and push harder for the things that we're doing, like the podcast and the other interests that I have in life. So, you know, pretty glad this week went the way it went. Exhausted. I'm tired. And there's still a whole bunch of life going on right now that I got to deal with. But things just seem to be on the uptick right now, and I'm feeling a lot better about it. And I appreciate you guys so much and everything. So it was a good show today. I was glad I was here.
We're glad you were here too, man.
Tell Gabby that we know she's really caring and nurturing.
Right?
My reputation, man.
I know. I'm trying not to, but it keeps showing.
Yeah, that she's trying to hide it. I keep telling her to tuck it in, man, if she wants.
I know. People are going to find out.
Throw a blanket over it.
He said throw a blanket over it.
All right. Well, shooters. Let me talk to you.
Yeah.
There she is. Talking about Project Headspace, guys, we are going to be doing maybe next week, maybe the week after, depending on how I feel. I want to do something to give back. I've told Sean, I've spoken with Gabby, spoke with the guys. I'm going to have our first annual Project Headspace shooting shit. Maybe call it Shooting Headspace. Fuck it, I don't know. We're going to have...
Let's not call it Shooting Headspace.
Oh, yeah. That's bad. But...
Let's not call it that.
What's it? Were they fat? Shooting fat. There you go.
Yeah.
But what we're going to do is, guys, I'm going to have some shit that I'm going to put out. I'm going to have some collectibles, some 8x10, some figures, maybe some artwork out for sale. And all sale proceeds are going to go directly to... Project Headspace and the veterans out there to help them with everything they need. To get you guys' minds straight here, I'm not pulling out any rocks, stone colds, you know, not doing the big, big names like that. But what I will have is a lot of real good 8x10 options. I may throw in a limited edition Chris Jericho figure or a limited edition Kenny Omega figure.
Ooh.
Hell, I might even throw in, you know, I've got a whole bunch of AEW signed figures. Some of them I don't necessarily need anymore. So there's going to be a good little list of things. I moved recently here to Detroit and noticed that got a little bit more crap than I would like. So some of it's going to be used for a good purpose. So stay tuned. We'll get into that once we set a solid date and I find out a solid list of items that I'm going to put out for auction. We'll do it a live auction virtually here. Of course, I'll take care of shipping. I'm going to worry about that. And, yeah, more to come on that. Be looking out for a post in the page about that as well. Also, our great partnership with the FSGP, which is the Freshly Squeezed Grand Prix Predictions League on pro wrestling, meaning we go on there, we make picks based off of the matches. Who's going to win the matches? How long are the match duration? Is there going to be any interference? Is there, you know, match order? What's going to start? What's going to close? Guys, we're still partnering with them. You can find the links down there at the bottom. I may have a special message for them coming next week, so stay tuned for that. And to wrap it up so we can go home, because I know Dennis has to go, thank you guys for listening. Joey, we love you. Guys, everybody that listens, we love you guys. Interact with us on the page. Give us a good question we can use for next week and spin off of. Like Jimmy did. Thank you, Jimmy, for participating and always being there for us. I know you always shout us out. To the dude at Culver's, where you at, buddy? I'm trying to get you a shirt, fucker. Reach out, man. We'll get you a good shooting shit shirt for all the people you tell to listen to us, man. But who knows what the future is for shooting shit, and we might have some opportunities to do some cool things to interact with everybody on a not web basis. So we'll see. But in case of and you know, as always, if you see us, beer us. We love you. To the people out there in catering, to the people and the HR department, to everybody that made the calls that people had to get cut, to the Johnners for proudly presenting us every once in a while, and to you for listening. We're shooting shit.
Later.
Legends of the Ring Sting, man. It's a great figure. Old school figure. Looks great. It's Sting! Old school Sting from WCW. Guys, you know us, three-fourths of the shooting shit team, and we're here with a listener just like you guys. This is Jimmy from Super Powers Comics.
My friend of almost 20 years. Yeah. He's known him since you were 12.
If you know people in Chicago, you probably know Dennis because he knows half the town.
Of course.
But shooters, if you need action figures, comics, wrestling memorabilia, we just showed you Sting. Superpowers Comics will put up their QR code so you can get a good look at everything they have coming. Give it a shot, shooters. Get your superpowers on and get your comics from our friend Jimmy, who listens just like you.
God, the Bears better not mess up my parlay.
Dude, they're going to mess up. They've messed up my life. Fuck your parlay.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@SHOOTINGSHT. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/SHOOTINSHT. Check us out on TikTok at SHOOTINSHIT. And you can buy your official Shootin' Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com /SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.